bottles of liquid zeolite.
Coming up on the show, of course, our Kentucky Derby Challenge. This is it. It's an exciting time for horse racing always because it's the start of the possibility of a Triple Crown. Of course, we haven't seen that since 78 and affirmed, but you never know. There's always that hope. So coming up on the show, of course, our Kentucky Derby Challenge. This is it. It's an exciting time for horse racing always. Because it's the start of the possibility of a Triple Crown. Of course, we haven't seen that since 78 and affirmed, but you never know. There's always that hope. Joining us on the show, he was so great the last time we had him on, horse racing guru, my pal, TK Lawless from Relentless Racing Stables. TK, going to be an interesting derby, man. There is a lot of horses, if they all go off, that are slated to run in this one. So we thought we'd make it a little bit different because you know, you are, like I said, you are the Swami when it comes to horse racing. So why don't we talk about some more. Welcome to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast and all those nooks and crannies in between. At the top of every show, we talk to our pals from Talk Radio News. They give us the inside scoop, I really think, on what's happening inside the Beltway and how it affects all of you. Ellen Ratner joins us now. Ellen, of course, Osama bin Laden, the main topic throughout the week on this show and I'm sure in talk radio in general. The families who had sons, daughters, and other loved ones who were killed on 9/11, some of them meeting with the president today, he went to New York to lay a wreath at Ground Zero. What do you know about what happened there?
Well, apparently one family member was upset that people in the CIA are maybe being prosecuted by the Justice Department. She was upset about that and wanted the president to talk to them, and he basically said he wouldn't. But he went first to the Midtown Firehouse, Pride of Midtown Firehouse, that lost 15 men on 9/11. And he said, when we say we will never forget, we mean what we say. So, and then the vice president went to the Pentagon and laid a wreath. So that all happened today.
And now tomorrow, it's on to what, Fort Campbell? And what's the idea of going to Fort Campbell?
Well, he will be meeting with some of the SEALs that conducted this raid, but also the helicopters that were used were actually based at Fort Campbell.
Ooh. All right, so there's a good connection there. Because one, remember, wasn't the story now that one got clipped as it was going into the compound?
Right, and they destroyed it. Now, they're still saying that some of the technology got left because apparently it's a very unusual helicopter that most people have never seen.
Yeah. Okay, Indian Affairs, they were on the Hill. There was a big hearing, I think, with Indian Affairs, right? And Geronimo.
Well, it was previously scheduled having absolutely nothing to do with what happened with Osama bin Laden and this. But as you know, the call out, the code name for Osama bin Laden was Geronimo. Well, Harlan Geronimo, who is a direct lineal descendant of the Apache leader, said that this was either an outrageous insult and mistake. Mm-hmm. He said it was a slander of Native America and its most famous leader in history. Geronimo himself, he said, was the focus of precisely such an operation by the U.S. military. And Harlan Geronimo fought two tours in Vietnam, and he was also the son of a World War II vet.
Oh, and that is definitely a hot potato. We had a couple of people send us emails and one person calling us to say that they were of Indian descent and they were not happy at all, explaining a similar thing to what you just said. The word Geronimo used, of course, the code name for Osama bin Laden that they had gotten him. I have to think they didn't honestly think about that as what happened, but who knows? That's just my opinion.
Right. Oh, I agree. But, you know, maybe they should have gone with Hitler or Eichmann or something like that.
All right, we move on to Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State in Rome, talking to Libya. What do you know about what the conversation's going to entail?
Well, she said the United States is trying to free up $30 billion in assets that have been frozen to finance the opposition government's operations. Now, they actually have their own sort of parliament, etc. And she also said that so far the U.S. has given $53 million in humanitarian aid, $25 million in non-lethal equipment. She said removal of Gaddafi is the best way to protect the Libyan people, and she called on governments all around the world to isolate the Libyan regime.
All right, isolate them. That's big, so finally some movement there, or more movement anyway, because the focus at least...
And she also said they ought to impose travel bans. And by the way, 22 nations and the head of NATO attended this meeting.
Wow, 22 nations and head of NATO. Okay, let's move on to John Boehner. And John Boehner talking about continuing to give the do-re-mi to Pakistan. I'm sure some people will react tonight to that on America Tonight. What's the skinny on that?
Well, John Boehner is saying that he believes that we should continue to give money there, that he thinks that the money should absolutely, that, you know, there were some hard questions that needed to be asked, but they had been cooperative in the war on terror, and that we should continue to support them.
All right, last one. What's the scoop on Robo signing and the big revelation there that it's still going on?
Well, that's right. John Conyers of Michigan, as well as Senators Franken and Menendez, released a GAO report today, and they said that mortgage companies had been frequently signing foreclosure affidavits without personal knowledge of any of the cases. They called this the robo-signing issue, and they said government oversight has unfortunately been limited and fragmented.
Ugh. So look for more to break on that, and we've been
right.
Talking about it. Yeah. Talk Radio News, Ellen Ratner, thanks so much. As always, we'll talk to you again. All right, so that conversation with Ellen in talking about some of the specific things that were happening on the Hill, you can see it just keeps on churning, but still Osama bin Laden's death has been the overwhelming water cooler buzz from Washington, D.C., trickling all the way still into our backyards, especially New York, New Jersey, as the president was at Ground Zero, where he had a lunch with some of the people who had lost, with many of the people who had lost husbands, wives, brothers, sons, daughters, nieces, all that kind of stuff, just people that were victimized by Osama bin Laden. And it was kind of a solemn moment when he was there with the reef. Especially, I thought what was interesting is, and if you go to Ground Zero, you'll see New York's Engine 23. It's really right around the corner. And they lost so many in that firehouse. I read something right after it that there were 28 children that now would not have fathers. And he made sure that he stopped and visited them. Also, Fire Engine 54, that's another one, Battalion 9. 15 men gone when the planes flew into the World Trade Centers, the Twin Towers. Ultimately, they were part of the rescue crew and didn't make it out. So actually, that was one, I think, with the 28 kids. Just an amazing amount of loss. And they'll never, as we've said, get the full-on closure, but it was a good gesture. Now, what happens next? The meeting with the Navy SEALs at Fort Campbell. That's where the president is headed. Of course, we don't know who the Navy SEALs are. I said they were the Daily Salute the other day because they'll go on other missions. Their names wouldn't be released. Certainly their families would probably be aware of it. But other than that, nobody will know except for the one SEAL who was the major commander. Stay with us. Odds and ends. We're going to fill in the blanks on the flip side.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendivite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now. My doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com. Extendivite.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluating. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to protect your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They both have maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them until now, your cash would have the buying power of only $4,800. But your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call John Ballman today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth a zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
Our big story, food prices rise with gas prices. Economists expect food price hikes of 3 to 4% this year. From lettuce to tomatoes, virtually all fresh produce has doubled in price. In the past year, corn prices up 87%, soybeans up 41%, and wheat has climbed 54%. Demand for seed is extremely high. Stock up today while supplies last.
Yes, there is a threat of seed shortages due to climatic weather events. Be prepared. Save money. Eat healthy with SeedsNow.com. For a limited time, SeedsNow.com is offering a survival garden seed vault stocked with over 60,000 high-quality heirloom seeds, over 50 popular varieties. All SeedsNow.com seeds are grown in the USA, 100% heirloom, 100% non-hybrid, 100% non-GMO. Order now at SeedsNow.com or by phone at 818-584-1488. That's 818-584-1488. Remember, SeedsNow.com. Your number one online source for quality garden seeds.
Walks further down the street with the people way down low. Ain't no sound but the sound of speech. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway is a bullet spray.
Well, Osama bin Laden bit the dust. It was announced on Sunday, but on Sunday we heard it was a firefight. That's the exact words that the president used when he told the world that in a statement that he released, if you remember, 11:30 and change on Sunday night. Now, it turns out that more details are coming out, and the specifics are that it was not a firefight. By the time the SEALs had gotten to bin Laden, shot him in the chest, and then blew off half of his head, he was in the room with one of his wives, but there was no shots going on. Even leading to the room, there wasn't. And it raises the question of, should they have just come out and made the statement, bin Laden's been killed by some courageous Navy SEALs, and not given as many details that were incorrect. The problem is, and now what is being jostled about, and I understand why, because, you know, the whole problem with exaggeration is like the telephone game. It gets bigger and badder and more sensational. So it's a firefight. They had no choice. They had to gun them down. What do you think? And, of course, it's Al-Qaeda sympathizers, so in a way, who gives a crap? But Al-Qaeda sympathizers use this. This is fuel. Look what the Americans did. They didn't capture him. They could have captured him. And the thing, even with the fact that there wasn't this firefight, just initially stepping off the helicopters, a couple of shots fired from what we're hearing at this point, still in all, you have to remember, would you really know what bin Laden's doing as you're fumbling around in the dark? You go up to the room. He's close to an AK-47 and another gun. You think he was going to pick up the gun and possibly shoot? So I think the Navy SEALs did what they were supposed to do. The problem is, and where it gets political, the information that was pumped up, written for the president, I'm certain of it. He looks at it and he may throw in what he thinks should be said. But when I think of Robert Gibbs and David Axelrod, who are trying to get him reelected, make it sexier. Pump it up. Let's not have a controversy out there. Boom, boom, out go the lights because there was a firefight at the compound. So there are a lot of crazy angles that continue, I think, to emerge from the specifics of what happened. The other thing is, according to one of the wives, there was probably three wives there, according to one of the wives who was questioned by the Pakistanis, they were there for 5 years. Bin Laden was there for 5 years. So the whole crawling around in caves or being moved from safe house to safe house just didn't happen. He was there for 5 years. And the CIA needed money and was getting money to do surveillance on the compound months before the actual raid. So what does that turn into? It turns into a backlash with the Pakistanis burning U.S. flags all over the place and with criticism coming out from other people in other countries. I mean, not allies, really, certainly not, but potential sympathizers, let's just say, and definite al-Qaeda sympathizers, but potential ones. Pakistani officials are now saying no resistance in what they're calling a cold-blooded U.S. raid. I think it was a cold-blooded U.S. raid. Well, this is the guy who killed 3,000 people in the United States. So think about it. There's confusion. You're in a country where suicide bombing is common. So, especially near Osama bin Laden, I think it was so far-fetched to believe that a bomb could have blown up in one of their faces or somebody could have come running, screaming toward them and blown themselves up in Abbottabad. No, I don't think it's that far-fetched. So I'll go back to the original thing about the SEALs. They did the right thing. Do you think it was cold-blooded because there was no resistance when the forces went in? That's what they're saying in Pakistan, because the accounts have changed throughout the week. The 40-minute gun battle, it wasn't a 40-minute gun battle. That was not what happened. The White House is now saying that, listen, it's the fog of war. So if we have misinformation, it's a fog of war over what happened to bin Laden, some of the specifics. He was shot in the head. Because the other thing was, I think we heard at one point that he might have been armed. So he wasn't armed. He was near weapons. He could have reached for the weapons. I'm buying that. And I think they acted in the proper manner. But they're getting quotes are billowing out of Pakistan that it was cold-blooded because there was not an exchange of firepower. And we know that after that assault happened, Reuters got some photographs that showed three dead guys, not bin Laden, that were swarming in pools of blood. And there wasn't any weapons that were near their bodies. So, anybody out there think that, wow, what a big mistake giving those details? Not cold-blooded, I'm sorry. I'll say it again. People having to make the choice whether to die in flames, engulfed in flames, or jump out of a window to their death. 20-year-olds, barely wet behind the ears, jumping to their deaths because that's what could they do? There was no way to get out. I don't care what the Pakistanis say. Because, frankly, I think they're lying. I think some of those officials, and they're, of course, holding a press conference to deny, how dare we be accused of covering up the whereabouts of Osama bin Laden. They were covering it up. Somebody knew. The Pakistani Secret Service, I think they have ice water running through their veins. And imagine, Imagine if they had gone in. What happens if they go in and the Navy SEALs are blown up? Then what? I mean, look, he's gone. He's dead. That's it. He's been ID'd. 9/11 was cold-blooded. What do the Pakistanis think of that? What do the folks in Al-Qaeda think of that? Well, they celebrate it. And some were celebrating across the river as people were dying in the United States of America. So take that. Quickly, John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, here's what he had to say about pumping money, aid, into Pakistan. He likes it. Listen.
I have no doubts that Osama bin Laden is dead. While I support continued engagement with Pakistan, and frankly, I believe our aid should continue to Pakistan, that does not mean that there aren't questions that need to be asked.
All right, fair enough. Questions need to be asked. But I don't care what the Pakistani secret police think, and I don't believe that they had no clue that he was there for 5 years in Abbottabad. Or in Abbottabad. Either way, I'm going to just tell you this because this is the magic of radio. And it wouldn't play well if we played the clip. But I happened to catch a few minutes of Conan O'Brien. He's on that big network, TBS, now. But he does some funny little bits. He did a bit about saying their man on the scene had checked to see if anyone could have possibly known where Osama bin Laden was. So they toured his countryside, and it was very funny. They showed houses, and they had, you know, Osama bin Laden Way and Al-Qaeda Parkway and a big sign saying Osama bin Laden was here. He may still be in the neighborhood. Just funny, funny things. Pointing out the fact that it's ridiculous to think that nobody knew where he was. So do you think bin Laden ever left that room? I'm thinking he probably never left that room. If they're saying he's there with the wives for 5 years, why would he leave the room? I don't think so. And we still come back to the picture. The families, some of the families anyway, who lost people on September 11th back in 2001, not happy with not seeing a photograph. And they're the ones that really count. What do you think? 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. Talking about exaggerated details of what happened initially and visiting with the families in New York City. Some of them who really want to see proof. Should they get to see it?
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape Harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, 3-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver. UtopiaSilver.com or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com. Taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. The world questioning different aspects of Osama bin Laden's killing, including the UN's High Commissioner for Human Rights. He's saying that he wants full disclosure on the, or the accurate, she's saying, she wants the accurate facts on Osama bin Laden's death. He was one of the FBI's most wanted terrorists. He killed thousands of innocent Americans. And here we are, a handful of days after the SEALs that were made of steel raided the compound and killed bin Laden. They want to make sure the operation was carried out legally. Give me a break. And why? And the backup to this, the High Commissioner's backup to this, is the United Nations condemns terrorism. This is a quote, but it also has basic rules of how counterterrorism activity has to be carried out, has to be carried out in compliance with international law. This is just a day, by the way, after U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder told the Senate Judiciary Committee that, okay, the raid in the compound was lawful and an act of national self-defense. I don't see how it's not self-defense. And the White House just backed that up again, saying there was no question. I'll repeat this, and I believe this. I believe this detail to be true. Bin Laden was within reach of two weapons during the attack, an AK-47 and a handgun. The Navy SEALs go in the confusion. You think that they're going to debate whether or not he's going to reach for that gun and kill them? I don't think so. I don't think this goes back on them. I don't believe it. The unfortunate part is the exaggerated details that were released in the very beginning. Because, you know, we live in a world where it's all on tape, baby. And you can go back, and I'm sure we have it, you go back a couple of days and you can hear Jay Carney saying that it was a firefight. You can hear the president's statement saying it was a firefight. But it wasn't a firefight. So now the changing story raises doubts. That's the problem. And it raises doubts on what? Whether or not they were really going to take him alive. If he had surrendered. If he had attempted to surrender. Eric Holder said there was no indication that he wanted to do that. His killing was appropriate. And now the UN's questioning it. Good timing. I'm going to the UN in a month to do a show from the UN. I'll ask questions. Tomas in Michigan. Hello, Tomas. You have the floor.
Okay, so, firefight, first of all right? You think there was a firefight?
Hello? Not from the details they're saying now, because why would they lie? Why would the CIA come out and say, well, wait a second, let's give you some more details, because they're getting pressed every day on it. And here's the specifics. They went into the courtyard. One helicopter was clipped. You know that? That copter went down. Then there were some shots fired right in the courtyard. And once they got into the house, and then three guys were killed. Once they got into the house, got up to bin Laden, no. There wasn't any shots fired as they were going up the staircase, according to the CIA.
You know, a firefight doesn't have to be an even fight, okay? You know, you can have 90% of the bullets going one way. That's mm-hmm. a firefight. And plus, we don't know who else was shooting at our troops. And we, if we do know, we may not want to tell. You know, there were some Pakistanis, you know, around that house, you know, protecting that house. Okay, these type of operations are very hectic. There was one in during Vietnam where we tried to rescue American prisoners right outside Hanoi, and we ended up dropping into the camp, and it was had been evacuated, you know, a couple months before, and it was right next door. There was a whole bunch of Chinese military students, and we wiped them out. So chaos. Just remember, it was a chaotic situation.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know.
Absolutely. Tomas, you and I are playing on the same team. I agree with you. I think those SEALs were heroes. I said this the other day. I used to date a SEAL. Trust me, I know how tough they are and some of the things that go on. And the secrecy of the missions, and like you said, they're very chaotic because this is the best of the best.
Yeah. Now, Kate, look, the big thing I want to say is, have you seen in the press over this last week now, it's almost over, almost every day you see pictures of hundreds of thousands of Muslims celebrating the death of Osama bin Laden. Have you seen those pictures?
Yes.
Man, well, maybe not 100,000. Have you seen pictures of, let's say, 10,000 Muslims celebrating
yes.
I mean, I would have expected the good Muslims that we have here in Dearborn to organize a march celebrating the death of someone who has dragged their beloved religion through the mud. Would you not?
I think it would be a good thing to do, but you know what? It's just like the problem you and I agree that has existed in this country all along. Why wouldn't you have more of a blowback from Muslim Americans? Why wouldn't they say, look, this guy, like you said, we don't like the ugly links. It's not fair. And we are American and we celebrate it with you. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're right. You didn't really hear that. You didn't see that. No.
I would have expected, you know, at least a council from CARE, you know.
Oh, CARE.
Right?
Yeah.
You know,
right.
I mean, because they care so much. I would have expected them to come out and say, thank you, America, for killing Osama bin Laden. I have not heard one Muslim. I have not heard one Muslim on talk radio. I have not seen one Muslim on Facebook and in the newspaper. Not one single Muslim of all the hundreds of millions of Muslims, not one have I seen say, thank you for killing this scumbag. And that is an indictment on their entire religion. That's an indictment. This guy was by far, without a doubt, one of the worst human beings on earth, one of the worst Muslims on earth, mm-hmm. according to the good Muslims, and not a word, not a peep. And you know what? We got to see photographs of our own President JFK with his head blown off. We got to see pictures of Martin Luther King with half his jaw missing. We got to see pictures of Bobby Kennedy bleeding to death with a shotgun wound or with a gun wound in the head. And yep. These are our heroes, our presidents, and they will not let us see a picture of our enemy because, guess what? It's because we are cowards. We are cowards because we are afraid that these Muslims are going to become upset. Like, you know, Muslims are so chilled out all the time. You know, they're already.
Listen, I agree with you. I agree with you on the photo. I railed on this the other night. It was ridiculous. And so well said. You did. You presented that much better than me. I talked about other photographs, but you're right. All the presidents we've seen. God, I live near the sixth floor museum. It's crazy what you can see of Kennedy. And so, absolutely, why can't we see the photograph? And you're right. Why worried about inciting more violence?
Now you know, SEALs and military, maybe there's a reason. Okay, I'll just say, and I don't 99.999% think this is the reason, but the other 0.91 whatever left, maybe the reason is because they wrapped Osama bin Laden in bacon and stuck pork chop up his, you know what, dumped trash into the sea, waited till like 4,000 sharks there, and then, you know, slid him on in there. But, you know, so I could see maybe that was a little bit over the top. The captain kind of like just slipped out and lost control of the SEALs and the Marines
right.
and the sailors. And
what an image.
Orgy and everything, you know.
Yeah.
So they had to cover it up. Anyway, Kate,
you're
thanks
right.
for the opportunity.
All right, thank you. Good call, Tomas. Good call. Right on the money. I agree with him. And, you know, here's the thing. And we know this, and I'll get them back on again, but we've talked over the years to many people, former CIA agents, former FBI agents, guys that are in the gig now who have told us about, you know, under assumed names. We've been able to do that a couple of times, not lately, but about some of the things that happen, some of the things that happen in the middle of chaos and all of that. And what I understand is you do have to say that there is a chance that you could incite more violence. But anything we do incites violence. That's the problem. We're always fanning those flames, aren't we? Here's what's interesting. One quick thing, and we're going to take some more phone calls, too, on the flip side here. I happened to see this. Michael Moore was on CNN. You know Michael Moore talking about he's a Michigander. Michael Moore talked about bin Laden and said he should have suffered an execution. We should have put him on trial. They killed him not because there was a firefight or something going on, that they went there to assassinate him or execute him or whatever you want to call it, and felt like, yeah, they should have gotten him and there should have been a trial. No way. You want to talk about trying to have a trial with Osama bin Laden? I don't think so. Cold-blooded Pakistani saying it was cold-blooded? I don't think so either. What say you? 800-259-5791. Plus, we're going to take some calls. Plus, we're going to let you hear what some of the people said at Ground Zero who had a chance to spend some time with the president and talk about the death of Osama bin Laden. Stay with us.
He looks 5 years younger.
He doesn't fall asleep at his desk like he used to.
He no longer drinks those energy drinks all day.
He used to be gloomy. Now he's upbeat.
He obviously has lost weight.
He's now drinking Moringa in the Morning from BigJoe.us. Moringa is a delicious, all-organic, 100% bioavailable blend from the Miracle Moringa tree, considered by many to be the most nutrient-rich plant ever discovered. Moringa in the Morning will suppress cravings for junk food and energy drinks and make you feel like a kid again. Drink Moringa in the Morning. Available from BigJoe.us. That's BigJoe.us. Vibrant Health is just a click or call away at BigJoe.us or 800-503-0515. 800-503-0515. That's 800-503-0515. Drink Moringa in the Morning.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali-C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. And the answer is, Ali-C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali-C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali-C.
Ground Zero, to spend some time with the families who lost people on 9/11. A lot of firefighter families, a lot of others who worked in the building, which, by the way, they did decide on the memorial what they're going to do with all the nearly 3,000 names. Is they're going to, how are they going to put the names is what they were trying to figure out. They're going to group the names together with the people they worked with. I think that's a great idea. So, in other words, if there were people that were working at Cantor Fitzgerald or firefighters from different firehouses, they would be grouped together on the memorial because all the names will be there, and that was smart. Boy, it's been a long time coming for that memorial to finally happen. And I was there when it happened, but I was there days, weeks after, and, of course, it was all about the cleanup, and it was the hole in the sky, but is still, when you go there, all you hear is the bulldozers, and you still see the pit. There still is that pit there. I'll be so happy when that pit is gone, because it is like an open wound that just will not close up. And I'm sure that's how the people feel, because the cry of "we must never forget" still rings true. Osama bin Laden's gone, no matter what we decide on things that should have happened, or was it a firefight or not, or released the photograph. For all intents and purposes, the guy's gone, right? But not the hole in the center of the chest of the people walking around who had their lives very personably forever changed. Imagine being blindsided like that. Frank Siller and Tom Vendito, two guys who were down there and had a chance to chat with the president. Here's what they both had to say.
It brings back so much emotion. It brings back the fact that my sister-in-law is on her own with five beautiful children that my brother left behind. By no means is the war on terror over. But this mean person, this evil person, is no longer on this earth, and I'm very happy about that. He's here today because the person who's responsible for murdering my brother it's over. That part is over.
Yeah, that part is over. Here's the rest of that. Didn't mean to jump on him. Here's the rest of that Tom Vendito.
He also spoke very plainly about the stress that he had to endure for that 30 minutes in the Situation Room after he made the decision to go after Bin Laden. He was very laid back, very friendly. He came in, he congratulated us and thanked us for our service. He greeted each one of us personally. We exchanged handshakes, salutations, and then we went inside and shared lunch together. I was really satisfied with today because it was a non-political day. Today and Sunday night as well, because we were getting asked about that, talking about Sunday night. It's a victory for the United States of America, and everyone is standing together as one.
Yep, standing together as one. Let's go to Dan in Texas. Hello, Dan.
Bobby.
Hello. What's going on in the background there? I hear noise. Are you
Bobby was rattling like a magpie as usual, so I had to shut him up. Okay, to Tomas, my brother. Dittos, brother. That was a brilliant little conversation you had with Kate, and you were right on all the way. Okay, Kate, I'd like to change the subject just a little bit here. Years ago, I wrote a poem for Mother's Day, and it's been published a few times. I'd like to do it for all of our guests tonight that are listening in, and in honor of Mother's Day. It's a very special poem. Would you care to allow me to do this?
Yes, let's hear it.
Okay. As you know, I'm a poet. Okay, here it goes. How do I love thee? First, let me say, I loved you with all my heart when I first felt that you were on your way. Then, with all the pain of heaven and hell, with clenched fist and fast breath, and finally a labor completed with a sigh, I heard the most beautiful thing in the world. I heard your very first cry. I heard your very first, okay. And then they gave you to me, and as you suckled at my breast, I counted your fingers and your toes, and I gazed at your angel face with your little button of a nose. And then I said to myself that my child was much prettier than all the rest. And when you took your first steps, I was there. And when you were sick or hurt, I gave you care. And as you grew, I tried to protect you from the bad and show you what was good. And with help from God above, you turned out like I knew you would. So all that's left for me to say by me is, my child, how I do love thee.
Yay, that was nice. Bravo. Well, so well I'm, done.
I'm Daniel Earl Mount Sr., and that's my poem for all of you.
Thanks, Dan.
You're more than welcome. Good night.
Yeah, and happy Mother's Day. Let's not forget that. All this conversation this week about Bin Laden. Don't forget about Mother's Day. It's not too late to hurry up, run out, get a card. You know how you guys can be. I was talking to a great lady today. Her name's, she's probably not listening, but her name's Beth Moranville. And she worked with a lot of talk show hosts over the years. The great Mike Gallagher and some others. And she was telling me a funny story about something she had written as comparing men and women and Christmas shopping and how they do it, how men run out just because they're hunter-gatherers, grab the stuff, boom, boom, wrap it up, and that's it. Women, think about it some more, go back, look at it. Different because we weren't the hunter-gatherers. You guys were. So if you're a guy, you're listening to me, you have mom, make sure you don't forget. That's the key thing. It's not that you have to do something extravagant. You could go to the Waffle House, but you have to remember it. You have to remember it. Forgetting it is not acceptable. So please remember Mother's Day. And it was a day for mothers, I think, with the president in New York City. They were remembering their sons, because that's an image that, you know, you think of the widows and all the children that were born after 9/11. Horrifically, there were a lot of young, pregnant women who lost their husbands on that day. And there were also a lot of mothers who lost their sons. And they would be the ones who would really, really speak out. It was just gut-wrenching what happened days and weeks afterwards. And now here we are almost 10 years later, and finally a solid plan for the memorial and knowing what's going to happen with the names and the death of Osama bin Laden. So there was a reef and a silent prayer with the families of the victims looking on. The visit to the former site of the World Trade Center towers was President Obama's first, as president anyway, and the idea was to pay respects, meet with the first responders and family members, and try to provide what the White House said was a sense of closure, which they'll never get a sense of closure. New York won't get a sense of closure, New Jersey won't, and neither does the rest of the country, really. Anybody who lost somebody, it's just a human thing. You never, ever seal that wound up. I don't see how you do it. But I think it was a good thing to do. I think it was good to go down there, and I also think it was good that President Bush didn't go, because he's out of the limelight. He doesn't want to be in the spotlight. He made sure that everybody knew that he was appreciative of the gesture and all that other stuff, but I think it was smart that he didn't go on this day. I think it really was the focus should have been about the families, and for the most part it really was. There were a couple photo ops, but nothing with the conversations, not as much as you usually would get with the president, and I think that's good. And the president did do one thing. He did tell the firefighters that it was the symbolic site of the extraordinary sacrifice that was made on the terrible day 10 years ago, and said that the killing of bin Laden can't bring back the friends you lost, but it sent a message around the world and also sent a message here back home that when we say we'll never forget, we mean what we say. Remember to never forget.